The Nile, lifeblood of the world's first great civilization, flowed calmly outside her palace window. The inundation had receded, and she could see the farmers readying themselves in the pre-dawn hour, milking their cows, getting their sacks of emmer and barley seed ready to cast upon the rich, black earth. In a few hours, the air would fill with the sounds of men shouting, children laughing, and animals bleeding as they ran behind the plows, treading upon the scattered seeds and driving them into the soil. But for now, the sun was yet to crest the horizon. There was still time before she would be called to awaken the god in the temple. The girl dismissed her handmaiden to have a moment of privacy for herself. Hatshepsut was around 16 years old, and her life's purpose was over. Her husband Aakheperenre Thutmose, lord of the two lands, king of Upper and Lower Egypt, may he live, was gravely ill despite his youth. He and Hatshepsut had failed to produce an heir. She had only one daughter, Nefru-Re, who was strong and healthy, but just 2 years old, not old enough to marry, reproduce, or forge the alliances that princesses so often do. Hatshepsut herself was the daughter of the previous king and was married to her father's successor, her own younger brother. She now sat as the king's highest-ranking wife. Her bloodline was impeccable. Daughter of the king, sister of the king, wife of the king. Her biggest failing was not giving birth to a son. The heir to the throne would not come from her. Why had Amun-Re, the king of the gods, not blessed Egypt with a son of pure royal blood? Why had he only given Hatshepsut a daughter? A man could spread his seed and produce offspring in profusion. A woman's womb could give but one child a year. And Hatshepsut's womb had been blessed only with a girl, or at least Nefru-Re was the only child that had lived. Her husband did have some boys in the royal nursery, but from other mothers. The kingship should always pass from father to son. However, these boys were mere babies. The king had only been on the throne for 3 short years, not long enough to sire a stable of healthy potential heirs. And worse than that, the mothers of these children were nothing more than ornaments of the king, pretty young things brought in to arouse the king's pleasure, with faces and bodies that would excite even the most sickly of monarchs. These girls had no family connections of any importance. How could one of these women be elevated to king's mother? The idea was insupportable. Hatshepsut understood that she wielded great power as queen. Her husband had never been in good health. His kingship had never been expected, but his two elder brothers died before they could take the throne. Thus, Thutmose was not trained for kingship as he should have been. When they married, it was Hatshepsut who advised her brother on which officials to trust, which families to avoid, and how to make his mark as a monarch. It still seemed to her as if he had been plucked from the royal nursery one day, called to be king to his own horror as much as anyone else's. The heartbreaking death of one brother after another had brought the crown to young Thutmose and the queenship to Hatshepsut. From as far back as she could remember, Hatshepsut understood that she was training for a life of great power and influence, but now it was all over. With no direct connection to the next king, she would be shut out of worldly affairs, her life's journey confined within luxurious palace walls. But Hatshepsut still walked the halls of power as the god's wife of Amun. And she sensed that it might be difficult for people to support the claim of an infant to the crowns of the two lands. Would their subjects watch passively as a young prince without connections, the son of one of the king's beauties, was propped up as king? Such a vulnerable monarch could only be maintained if Hatshepsut stood behind him as his regent and made the decisions. Otherwise, all would be lost. Her father's Thutmose line would be broken after only 2 generations. Many great men of the court were emphasizing their connections back to the Ahmazid family, the kings who had ruled before her father, in an attempt to lay claim to the thrones of Upper and Lower Egypt. If the white and red crowns passed to one of them, instead of to a son of her brother, then all that her parents had entrusted to her would be lost. It would be a shameful end to her father's dynasty, dying out after only 2 Thutmoseid kings, her father, and her brother. Somehow she had to create the circumstances for a third Thutmoside king. Hatshepsut was not only the king's great wife, but also the god's wife of Amun, and she understood how to use that position. She served as the most important priestess in all of Egypt and had been trained from childhood by Ahmes Nefertari, the most revered and aged royal queen and priestess in the land. As Hatshepsut prepared for her duties at the temple, she decided to ask the god what to do. She would place the burden in his hands. Somewhere beyond the palace, she heard the beating of drums and the shaking of Sistra. It was time to awaken Amun.